Heavenly Father, we thank you for your tangible presence in our midst. As we enter your word, we ask that tangible presence go with us. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing that is on me upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, so that your word will flow freely from you through me to your people. Yes, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that indeed they will become doers of these things which they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy, to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Yes, bring out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned that prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, there's our school of perfection. We are teaching on Christian perfection, using the Lord Jesus Christ both as our pattern as well as our goal. Perfection is a spiritual condition in which the residual sin nature in our souls, that is the mind, will, emotions, as well as the physical body, has been totally and completely removed through the application of the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. It is instructive to understand that when you get born again, what gets born again is your spirit. The divine nature is in your spirit, but it is not fully in your soul and in your body. Consequently, there is a constant conflict between what your spirit wants to do and desires to do and what your body and your mind and your will, the Bible says the carnal mind is in enmity against God, wants to do. But the good news is that you can and should overcome that conflict. You know, by using the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can gradually clean out the residual. And we call it residual because when you get born again, something does happen in your soul and body to a degree. It's only that it's very small. You know, usually when you first get born again, the first few weeks and months, you know, you feel that, you know. And then after a while, you just notice that that euphoria goes down, you know. And it's because when you got born again, there was an impact, not only on your spirit, but also on your soul and body. But if you do not know how to use the word of God to maintain it, it goes down. And like Paul says, he says, the spirit it lusts against the flesh or is in conflict with the sin nature in the soul and body, and the flesh against spirit is described in Galatians 5 as well as in Romans chapter 7. The good news anyway is that you can use and should use the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to gradually clean out this residual sin nature that is in the soul and body. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1, having therefore these promises dearly beloved, let us, the responsibility is ours, though the Holy Spirit, we cannot do it by ourselves, the Holy Spirit helps us to do it, but we must take the initiative to do it. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's where we get that perfection from. So we use the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to gradually clean it out. It's a process that is perfecting, it's present, continuous. And then we come to that condition of perfection in which all the sin nature in the soul and body is out. Now, this condition is not a utopia, as some might think. You know, it doesn't, two things. One, it doesn't mean you know everything, you know. And secondly, it doesn't mean you cannot sin. And to get this picture, you have to look at the two Adams. The Lord Jesus, the first Adam created in the Garden of Eden, was created perfect, yet he sinned, you know. And then the second Adam, or the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, though he was tempted in every like as we are, yet without sin. And then you also see, you know, that Jesus also, even though he was born perfect, because he was born of a virgin, he did not partake of the sin nature, even in his soul and in his body. He never did, you know. However, the scripture tells us that he had to grow. He grew in wisdom and in stature. So it means perfection does not mean you know everything. You're still growing. In fact, what you're supposed to do is to use that, maintain that condition of perfection using the blood, the word, and the spirit by which you got it, maintain it and grow in it into a state of maturity in perfection. At that time, because you now become rooted and grounded, you become established in righteousness, consistently overcoming the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, like the Lord Jesus, as he was tested in the wilderness for 40 days, God knows he can trust you. He doesn't think he can trust you. He knows he can trust you because you have been tested and tried, you know, like the Lord Jesus in the garden of, in the wilderness, in the temptation. Then you then inherit the Spirit without measure. That's where we're going. It is that Spirit without measure that will enable us to do the works Jesus did and greater. It is pertinent to know that even though we do some supernatural works now, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, what we have now is what the Bible calls the earnest or the deposit of the power of the Holy Spirit. We have it. You know, it enables us to speak in tongues, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick and they recover. You know, and the gifts of the Spirit are given to us sporadically, occasionally, as the Holy Spirit wills. Thank God for all of that. But that does not compare with what Jesus had. Jesus had the after 30. He didn't have it before 30. But after the age of 30, when he was anointed by the Spirit of God, or the Spirit of God came upon him, he always had the Holy Spirit. So what came upon him was just a greater measure. A measure, what the Bible calls in John chapter 3, verse 34, the Spirit without measure that took him into the wilderness, and he came out in the power of the Spirit. Then you see him turning water to wine. You see him walking on water. You see him raising the dead, cleansing lepers, healing the sick, you know, and so on. We don't see that level of miraculous power in our lives. In fact, we haven't seen it since the first century, since Jesus came. We're over the centuries and millennia since the time of Christ. We have seen, you know, little outpourings of the Spirit of God. And we thank God for what we've seen. You know, that's what gives us hope, and even has got us saved and brought us where we are today. So we don't despise the day of small beginnings. However, we see nothing that is even remotely close to what Jesus did when he was on earth. You see him, you know, like I said, you know, healing the sick, raising the dead. And he didn't just heal the sick. He healed multitudes. The Bible says virtue went out of him and healed them all. You know, and it's talking about a multitude. And the Bible doesn't exaggerate. When he healed one person in John 5, it says one. When he healed a few in Nazareth, it said few. Then when he healed all, it said all. So we know there was no exaggeration about that. And when we're talking about a multitude, you're looking at 10, 15,000 people. Can you imagine every single person getting healed? You know? Now, we haven't seen that. We've seen a little bit, you know, gifts of the Spirit, you know, in evangelistic campaigns, like people like T.L. Osborne, late Archbishop Benson de la Rosa, and others, you know, you see them, you know, maybe 100, maybe 200 will get healed. You know, some will walk out of wheelchairs. You know, the blind will see, the lame will walk. It was very limited. And then, of course, sadly, it wasn't consistent. You know, but in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, you see this constantly from the beginning of his ministry. You know, after turning water to wine. Now, we haven't seen that. I've never heard. I've read so many books in my... I'm open to correction. If anybody out there who's listening, if you've seen somebody who's turned water to wine, please let me know. In our generation, I've never seen anything like that. I've never heard of anybody walking on water. Not in our generation. But Jesus said, we will do the works that he did and greater. So it means we're missing something. It means there's still something ahead of us that we are to attain. Paul speaks of this by revelation. He says, I forget the things which are behind. I press on for the things which are before me, you know, for the prize. That's what he was talking about, that he would become exactly like Jesus, that I may know him. You know, the power, the fellowship of himself, the power of his resurrection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection, you know, he wasn't talking about, you know, the rapture. He was talking about having the life of God be made manifest in his mortal flesh, you know. He didn't get there. He wrote it down. He got it. He saw it by revelation. He didn't get there. he didn't, you know, experience it because it wasn't for their time. The Bible says the third day I'll be perfected. So this perfection of which we speak is only available now in this third day, in this 21st century. And no wonder, you know, the revelation knowledge and the complete canon of scripture was not available then. So there was no way they could know what we know today. You know, the Paul we're spoken about, great guy, got a lot of revelation. He wrote his epistles, but it was his epistles. But there were other epistles. There was Peter, and there was James, and there was John, and they hadn't yet been collated. So what you had was scattered bits of the Word of God. They had the Old Testament, but then they didn't have this complete canon of the New Testament. The book of Revelation itself didn't come until AD 95, 96, and by John. And by that time, Paul had died. You know, and even Peter and many of them had died, you know. By John was the last one of all of them who died a natural death. So, understandably, you know, also, there are many spiritual things we can understand now that the people who lived 1,000 years ago, 100 years ago, even 100 years ago, couldn't understand now. Some of the analogies we use, you know, about, you know, electromagnetic waves and, you know, that understanding is so critical, you know, to understand spiritual forces. I can understand spiritual forces now because I understand how remote control works. So as the Bible says, the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, there are certain things that if they are not yet made, we can't understand the spiritual equivalent. That's why God began to give man the knowledge of science and technology and mathematics and things like that. You know, when the Bible says, you know, the glory of God, the heavens declare the glory of God. In the past, that was just, well, you just see the lightning and the thunder and all of that. But now we know that the planets move in elliptical, precise mathematical orbits. Not only the planets, you know, the solar systems. They're not only the solar systems, the galaxies. We didn't know about galaxies until 1923 by a guy called Eddington, you know, who noticed that all the things were moving faster away, you know, from the Earth, you know, and they're still moving now, you know. So now we can appreciate better the heavens declare the glory of God. But we couldn't. So that's why the third day man, the 21st century man, is at a great unique advantage over people that lived in previous generations. We have the whole canon of scripture. You know, we have knowledge of the things that are made that we can help us to understand the invisible things. So our understanding of the Bible and the Word of God is far deeper than any generation before us. You know, and that's why we can now, and we are destined to get this perfection. So after growing this perfection and maintaining it and inheriting the spirit out measure, it is this spirit out measure that is going to enable us to go to every nation on the face of the earth and make disciples in every nation. It doesn't mean everybody in every nation is going to get born again. Mm-mm. What it means is that in every nation we're going to have a sample. Just like in the ministry of Jesus is the pattern. Jesus had a sample from the natural nation of Israel at that time. He had his 12 apostles, and then he had the 70. Let's just say 100. You know, who now God took some of the power that was on Jesus, put it on them. So, and he told them, go, you know, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, freely you have received. So that operation needs to now be reproduced in every tribe, tongue, and kindred, amongst the Yorubas, among the Hausas, among the Kanuris, among the Fulanis, you know, among the Efiks, the Ibibios, the Igbo, you know, the Shekiris, you know, and so on and so forth like that. And that's just Nigeria. Nigeria alone has about 400 to 500, you know, unique ethnic groups. Some of them have never been reached. So those many who have been reached have not been, certainly not been discipled. you know. And then there's got the same thing in England. You've got the Welsh, you've got the English, you've got the Welsh, you've got the Scottish, you've got the Irish. And they all speak the same language. You know, it's all of us who live in Nigeria. I think that, you know, the whole of England is London. And everybody speaks the same thing. No. I remember in 1979, when I was in England, I had my friend. He was biracial. So his mom was white, but his dad was Nigerian. So we were friends from Nigeria, and we went to England. So we're in Imperial College together. So there was one weekend, he wanted to go and see his grandparents, you know, in Newcastle. Newcastle is north of England. That was the first time I ever traveled that north, and I have not been there since, you know, and even before. You know, my wife has taken the kids. They've gone to Edinburgh. They've gone to Scotland. I've never been to Scotland. Anyway, to call this long story short, you know, so we took this fast bullet train, you know, from, I think it was, you know, one of the stations in London, you know, I think it's Paddington, you know, and it took 6 hours, you know, about, you know, to go to Newcastle. When we got to Newcastle, you know, went with him to his grandparents. I couldn't hear what they were saying. They were speaking English. But they had this strange accent. You know, you have to listen very hard. I couldn't understand the average person. So I'd always ask, David, like, what are they saying? Then they would not tell me. I couldn't understand what they were saying. You know, if you hear a very person with a strong Scottish accent, you hear what they're saying. Or the Irish. And I have no clue. The Welsh is like Greek. You know? You know, and these are all ethnic groups. And this is true of every geopolitical nation. Nigeria, China, Cameroon, Congo, China. China, they don't have just one. There's Mandarin. Then there's another, you know, another China. And then they have so many dialects, even Russia. You know, you've got the Mongolians. You've got people, all kinds of, you know, different people, groups. In all the nations of the earth. Now, that's the reason why we need the Spirit without measure. We are supposed to go to each and every single one of them, not by satellite, by boots on the ground. We have to go there physically. You understand? Preach, you know, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and then get a group of them, a sample, 120 or 200, whatever, you know, that will be just like the 12 apostles and the 70. And then reproduce that in every ethnic group all over the earth. It's a tall order. And it can only be done by the Spirit without measure. The Pentecostal anointing won't get it done. If it could, it would have. We've had the Pentecostal anointing for over 100 years. And there's still places we can't go. There's still places we have not been able to get a breakthrough in. You know, so that's the motivation for all of this. And Jesus said it is when this has happened and this gospel of the kingdom is being preached and demonstrated unto all ethnos, all ethnic groups. The Greek word is ethnos. The English is ethnic. You know, then for a witness. In other words, they will see the power. They will see the manifestation. Not talk. Not just preaching. You understand? They says, then the end will come. So Jesus is not coming next week. He's not coming in 5 years, not coming in 10, he's not coming in 15, 20, maybe. But let's even see the manifestation first. Then we'll now be able to look at our rate of penetration, you know. You can't give what you don't have. You yourself have to be a disciple first. It is only disciples that can make disciples. Just because you're a Christian does not make you a disciple. I preached on that some time ago. So we're now in Matthew chapter 5, and in our last lesson, we stopped in we were talking about the light, let your light so shine. We went into detail about this, how the life of God has light, and that light stands for development. All the scientific advancements that we've seen in the world, you know, majority of it came through countries that allowed the light of Christ to be released into those nations and into the atmosphere. Galileo, and there was a time in Europe that was called the Renaissance, which was about 1200, 1300. That was the time of Galileo and some of the, Leonardo da Vinci and some of these guys, And even then, there was a limit to what they saw. They saw some things, and then because what happened was that there was a guy in England called Tyndall who they burnt at the stake because he dared to translate the Bible into modern language. They made a decree that, you must be crazy. Don't put the Bible in language for everybody to understand, So they burnt him at the stake. And his last prayer as he was dying was, God, open the eyes of the King of England. God answered that prayer. After the Reformation in 1517, you find that it is the English kings that rebelled against Rome. Not for altruistic reasons, but they rebelled against Rome and said, the Bible will be printed, And that's how the Reformation, started, and lights came. And then a little after that, 1600, Isaac Newton, then you had the Industrial Revolution, the steam engine. All this just within a few hundred years compared to what for 1,000 years we were in the Dark Ages. Even it was the time of Tyndall and all that, that the printing press was invented, and then the people like Galileo and all that would write their works down and all of that. So that's why we had the Renaissance, and then it really took off with the Reformation. I said this before, and I'm going to repeat it. All the scientific development that we've seen in the last 500 years, which will be from 1517 about 1500 to date, which we're now in 2022, was a consequence of the light that came through the Reformation. Firstly, in Europe, Germany. No wonder why you find that, the Germans are wonderful engineers. It's just something, they inherited through Jesus. The motor car, the Daimler Benz, they made the first cars and engines and all of that. Then, of course, later on you had Ford in America, so you had that in Europe and in Germany, all the industrial process. Then something happened at the turn of the century, the last century, 1900, the baptism of the Holy Spirit now came. That now brought a greater dimension of light. But this time, it was pioneered in America, not Europe. And you can see the effect. America leapfrogged. Before, Europe was a center of science and technology and development. It now became America. And now, in a shorter time, between 1900 and 1950, America alone, the airplane, radio, television, plastics, computer, ENIAC was 1946, and all of it started in America. Of course, it spread to the other places, but it's not an accident. Development always comes on the wings of revival. Whenever there is an explosion, a spiritual supernova of the power and the life of God in an environment and in society, it always, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It always leads to great strides in civilization and science. The great news is that another one is coming now. 1517, the Reformation, was a revival of Passover. Just the new birth. 1900 was the revival of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. We thank God. But we're not going to have the revival of perfection, which we're not going to get a spirit without measure. And again, there's going to be another great development. And the good news is that at last it's come to us. You know, the first ones were, you know, in Jerusalem, you know, after the first revival, you know, amongst the Jews and the Middle East, you know, and that was where all the center was, the Roman Empire. That's where light and development was, you know. And then later on, the Reformation in Europe, you know, and then America, like I just told you. Now it's our turn. Give a lot of clap offering. Once this thing breaks out, you can already see the seeds of it in Nigeria. I always boast, in the right sense, of my generation. My generation are those of us who were born between about 1950, say 1948, you know, to the, you know, late 50s, early 60s, you know, maybe take a little bit of the 70s, maybe, you know. It is a unique generation, Nigerians. There is nowhere in the world you will go to, you will find us. And where we couldn't develop properly because of the difficult conditions in Nigeria, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, you understand? Whenever we went to the America, or we went to England, or we went to Germany, we always go to the top. It's that effect because, you see, around the time I was in my early teens and something, that was when the SU revival broke out. Now, not everybody became an SU, but it was common in many of the schools. So it affected the intellect. So you find our you know, many Nigerians. I remember one lady, one time we were in England many years ago, you know, and I have a cousin, one of my first cousins. He's a consultant urologist and gynecologist. He actually treats the people in the royal family. That's how high he is. You know, he has his own private hospital now in London. You know, it's very close, you know, close. He's my cousin. So, he's been working there for many years. But he did his secondary school in Nigeria. He went to Igbobi College. You know, he did Form 5 in Igbobi College. I think he had grade 1 distinction. Brilliant guy. Then from there, he went to King's College. He went to KC for his A-levels. Then from King's College, he went to University of Lagos, where he did his, he became a doctor, you know, his first degree. Then from there, he now went to England, you know, to specialize and everything. So his professor was a lady. You know, they were both lecturers, you know, in Queen Mary University in London. So his professor was the one who was telling me this. She said, "Mr. Johnson," he said, "your cousin is one of the best doctors I've ever worked with." He said, "He is so hardworking and he is so brilliant. You know, I just wanted you to know, you know, you should be very proud of him." You know, white lady. So I said to her, I said, "Thank you," you know, and I, you know. So when I now saw my cousin, I said, "Yemi, this is what your oga said about you." He said, "Egbon," you know, he calls me Egbon because I'm senior to him. You know, he said, "Egbon, ma down low." He said it in Yoruba. He said, "You know, don't mind them." He said, "Don't mind them." He said, when we were in Nigeria, and when we were in Unilag, when they took off the light, we continued the operation with torchlight. He said, "I now get to London, you give me light, and you say I won't do well." Give a lot of clap offering, somebody. True story. And there are many of them like that. In fact, the NHS in England is held by Nigerians and Indians. By Nigerians and Indians. You go anywhere, it's either one Kunle or one Emeka or one, you know, you'll be surprised. The story is told, I don't know if it's true, I think it is true, you know, of when, I think it was Yaradua, the one that died, the president that died, you know, sadly, you know, and, you know, they couldn't treat him in Nigeria. So they flew him to Germany. You know, for specialized treatment and all of that. So they said, "Oh, the head of that particular unit in that hospital in Germany was going to come and talk to him and treat him. And behold, I think it's a Kunle or an Emeka that appeared to him. Nigerian. Whereas if he had stayed in Nigeria, he would have been frustrated carrying water from Obadam. What am I saying? We've seen the first fruits. Of course, all of you know my very good friend, you know, Aki Adesina, who is now the head of the African Development Bank. Aki has taken the African Development and put it on the same level as almost the World Bank. By the grace of God. By the grace and the mercy of God. You know? And he was, you know, if you know Aki's story, it's a very funny story. You know, he just, you know, his parents were not very rich. You know, so he was just struggled. He went to Ejigbo. He didn't go to some. He didn't go to GCI or CMS or any of these, you know, schools. You know, but the thing was there. You know, his dad wanted to be a doctor, medical doctor. He took the exam to Ife three times or twice. You know, each time they didn't take him. So, but whenever he applied for Agric, they would take him. So, and the third time, his dad said, well, maybe it's this Agric God wants you to do. Go. He got a long story short. He goes to the University of Ife. He has a first degree in agricultural economics. Gets a scholarship. Federal government scholarship. After a long story, I don't want to go into all of that. To go to Purdue University in the United States. He had done his master's in Ife. Gets to Purdue and does his doctorate. His doctorate is one of the best that they ever had. Then they now tell him that, you know, because the Nigerian government, they were chopping the money in New York. Oh, God, have mercy on us. True story. So the money that they should have been sending to the students in Purdue and all over, you know, the guys in New York are chopping it. So these guys, you know, like Aki, they couldn't eat. You know, the first $500 he had, you know, had run out. You know, and he didn't have money. So his professor, they did a test in his class and he didn't do very well. The professor said, what's wrong with you? You're one of the most brilliant guys in my class. He said, I'm not eating for 3 days. The professor said, here in the United States of America? He said, all right, you know what? I'm going to give you a job as a graduate assistant. You know, and you're going to be paid. He said, but it is on the condition you must learn French. Because there is a project we're doing in Niger Republic. And you have to speak French. He did not know God was laying the foundation. Because he could never have become the president of the African Development Bank if he didn't learn French. So he learned the French, excelled in it, did very well from there. You know, when he finished there, he moved to the Rockefeller Foundation. That's where he met Bill Gates and all of these guys. You know, from there, he worked with Kofi Annan. Kofi Annan was very close to General Obasanjo. So when they were now, you know, Jonathan, they were now looking for a Greek minister. Kofi Annan said, what is wrong with you? Yeah, one of the most brilliant African economists, agriculture economists, is working with me. He said, make him your Greek minister. Quite a long story short, I became minister. Give the Lord a clap offering. I use those examples. Of course, another one is Okonjo-Iweala. Okonjo-Iweala, yesterday, I was just watching her on television. They were doing G7 and all that. She was there. She's not a head of state, but she's the head of the WTO, World Trade Organization. She was standing next to Biden and all these guys. Nigeria, they'll frustrate her. But all that is changing now. Give a lot of clap offering, somebody. In him was life. And the life was there. I actually met her once when Akin's son got married in Philadelphia. Yeah. You know, she came because she likes Akin a lot. They worked together in the Jonathan administration. And they really pushed for Akin to get that job. And he got it. You know, so she came for this thing and introduced her to me to her and all of that, you know. And as far as I know, she's a Christian. You know, so what I'm trying to say is that light, so you can already see its effects of it in Nigeria. You can imagine what's going to happen now when the revival comes. Woo! Glory to God. It will far outstrip what we saw with Pentecost, with Passover in the 1500s in Europe, what we saw with Pentecost in America in the early 20th century. You know, it's going to be superior to it. For God, the glory of the latter house will always be greater than that of the former. Well, that's a nice history lesson. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, in our last lesson, we were looking at this light. And I said this development is coming, you know, and it's going to result in the, we looked at this in, let's quickly go back there now, in Isaiah chapter 60. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 61, and we looked at verse 4. Right, we're talking about, you know, when the Spirit that measure come, which was the Spirit on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they that mourn in Zion, so you said the people who have been praying and fasting for that thing to come, you know, I said, let's read it from the, I won't read everything because of time. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you know, and so on and so forth, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which is a Jubilee, and the day of the vengeance of our God. That's what we're going to enter now. Now, with this glory, there's also going to come vengeance. You know, I remember when I was talking on Sunday, people were looking at me funny. And mommy had to try and come and, you know, I'll talk a little bit on Sunday, but let me just say this to you. You know, whether you like it or not, God has not undergone therapy between the Old Testament and the New Testament. He has not changed. People always say, oh, that was Old Testament. No. I want to say this on Sunday, but let me just pour a little bit out. Now, you got to understand that God is three things. He's loving kindness, He's righteousness, and He's justice. I used this to describe God many years ago. And some people have been describing me like that too. You know, when you meet me, you know, I'm a very nice guy. You know, just nice, quiet, smiley, and all of that. But don't be deceived. It's an iron hand in a velvet glove. That's how God is. So the first thing you feel is the velvet. It's very soft. But there's an iron hand behind it. But it's only for the rebellious. Don't be worried. It's only for the rebellious and the stubborn and recalcitrant. It's not for the good people, you know. So you find God in the Old Testament, like I say on Sunday, you know, stoning is a rebellious stone. God told them to do it. He said the parents should be the one that should take the boy out. And then they should stone him first, and then the other people will join them. How can God is love? How can God ever say that kind of thing? But you need to read your Bible properly. The Bible says, so shall you put away evil from amongst you. You said the others will hear. Now someone says, is that in the New Testament? Is there? Revelation chapter 3. He said, that woman called Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching my servants to commit fornication and to eat things that are sacrificed to idols. He said, behold, I will cast her into a bed and I will kill her children with death. I didn't say it though. It's Jesus who said it. You know? But then he puts in a caveat, except they repent. That's God for you. See, God will always give room for repentance. That's why his judgment does not fall instantly. And people mistake that to think, oh, God is sleeping. Oh, he's the God of the Old Testament. Oh, he doesn't do that anymore today. You are terribly fooled. No, he hasn't changed. But the good news is, I'm going to say this again on Sunday, but you know, it's come now because this vengeance thing I just saw. The day of the vengeance of God is coming to the church. It's going to be on the rebellious, the stubborn, those same things you see in that Deuteronomy, you know. But the good news is that you can overcome it. How? The Bible says that he that covereth his sins
shall not prosper. But he that confesses, but he doesn't stop there, and forsakes, shall receive mercy. The same scripture now says, and mercy will triumph over judgment. So you don't have to be afraid. Even if you've made a mistake, even if you've done something wrong, the thing is, don't continue in it and think that God doesn't see. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Now, when you forsake it and you turn away from it, you know, mercy will now come. Mercy will now reduce the effect of the judgment. And in some cases, if you do it properly, it will totally overcome it. Yes. That's the God we serve. So he hasn't changed. He's still the same God in the Old Testament. The same in the Old Testament. Imagine, I was sharing this with the brethren yesterday. Look at Manasseh. Manasseh is one of the most wicked kings in the Old Testament. Manasseh is on the same level, no, higher. He's higher. His wickedness was higher than Ahab. Ahab was bad because of his wife Jezebel. But Manasseh took it to another level. The only person I can probably begin to compare with Manasseh would be Jeroboam. But even Jeroboam, there are some things they say Manasseh did, Jeroboam didn't do. Jeroboam was an idol worshiper, but I don't have a record of him putting his children through the fire. The Bible says Manasseh filled Jerusalem with blood. He worshipped the king, the queen of heaven. He put all the idols inside Jerusalem and inside the court of the temple. He sacrificed his children to devils. If there's nothing Manasseh didn't do. Yet, this same Manasseh, the Bible says that God allowed him to be taken in captivity. And then they fed him with the bread of affliction. Then he came to himself. And then he humbled himself. God didn't just forgive him. That would have been good enough. If God just forgave him and he just died in that prison and went to heaven, that's okay for a bad guy like Manasseh. But to show you the grace of God, let's give him a super clap offering. God not only forgives him, he restores him back to his throne. Not only that, Manasseh now becomes a good king, and he does, and that's how he ends his life. Manasseh ends very well. He ends better than Ahab. He ends better than Jeroboam. Who said God has changed? Old Testament. Still a God of goodness. So if you whether Old Testament or New Testament, if you do the wrong thing, and then you say, oh God, I'm sorry, and it's genuine, and you turn from it, then mercy will come, and the mercy will triumph over judgment. So you don't have to be afraid when you read those kind of scriptures. Are you listening to me? Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. So the day of the vengeance of our God, vengeance, you know, Ananias and Sapphira is vengeance. It's coming back. It's coming back to the church, that level of judgment. But the good news is that to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And they who were mourning in Zion. These are the guys who have been fasting and praying for the spirit without measure to come, like you and I, by the grace of God. You see, these people, when this spirit without measure comes, they will build the old waste places. They will raise up the former generations. They will repair the waste places and the desolation of many generations. This is particularly true prophetically of Nigeria. We all know, you know, we've been alive long enough. Some of the younger generation may not know this. You know, I was meditating on this, you know, Pastor Gwega, this morning, you know, afternoon when I was preparing for this. You know, I remember my when I was a kid. I'm talking about when I was 7, 8. My mom used to take us to Kingsway. On Marina, air conditioned, beautiful. There were no toys you couldn't buy. All the toys, Corgi cars. I remember the difference between Corgi and Matchbox. The Matchbox car didn't have a suspension. So when you know, that's how you will know. So if I went down this hand, they want to bring it out. When they bring the car, I'll do it like this. Then if it bounces, then you know it's Corgi. If it goes, if it's Matchbox, it has no suspension. All this in the same Nigeria. Go to Father Christmas, You know, then we go to Leventis. You know, it was a beautiful place. Same Nigeria. This same Nigeria. In the 60s, in the 70s, when I entered, when I was in Form 1, I did 14 subjects. 14, including woodwork. I had books as fat as that. We did, you know, Greek mythology, Hercules, and all kinds of, the Battle of Hastings, the history of England. Then we also did the one of Nigeria. We did Mansa Musa. We did the Songhai Empire, the Oyo Empire. So it was a well-rounded education. This same Nigeria. What happened? Fast forward to the coup. The first coup was in 75. Well, the first coup was in 66. That's when Gowon came. The Gowon regime, God had mercy on them. They did well. My uncle was a part of it. My late uncle. You know, they built all the infrastructure. You know, zero almost. Well, there was some corruption, but nothing like today. There was some corruption, but it wasn't much. You know, in those days, you know, if you had a contract, you do the contract. Then you can say thank you with 10% or something like that. You know, but not that the money of the contract you would. And then the contract will not even be done. Then we move from that, you know, to the next regime, which was the Obasanjo and Murtala Muhammad regime. There was some degree of probity, but not too much. There was more corruption. Then the civilians came. That was when things really went down. I got in my notes here. I said, Nigeria, the 1980s, to now the 2020s, 40 years, which is as a the desolations of this generation is going to be restored through this manifestation of the glory of God. The Spirit without man is going to come. There's going to be a restoration. We're going to build the whole waste places. We're going to repair the waste cities. The desolations of many generations is going to be restored. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes. That's a prophetic word. You can take it to the bank. Amen. But it's not only going to be true of Nigeria. And also, in many nations, moral and spiritual desolations, like in the UK. You cannot believe that this England you are seeing today is the England of John Wesley, of Queen Victoria. The England that placed things like honor, purity. That's where I get the Puritans from. You know, above every other thing. And all of it, they got it from the Bible. The England of William Wilberforce. You know, the guys who rose up to abolish the slave trade. You know, and so many others. I time fails me to mention. These are great men who are influenced by the Bible and changed the social. England before, England of the 1700s, East London was full of rats, disease. The poor people and their children would be dying on the roads. The place used to stink. And then the men of honor, men who the Bible had influenced their thinking, said, this is not right. They set up orphanages. They cleaned the place out, you know, and set all the social reforms, you know. But what happened? They said when Jehoshaphat grew fat, he kicked and he forgot God. I say in England now, they say there's no God. Some of them, the churches are now being sold to discos and to mosques. It's a sad thing, but it's going to be restored. Same thing with America. I was just watching something with this restoration of the Supreme Court, this thing on this abortion thing and everything, you know. And somebody did a research, I think it was on CBN or something, and they found out that, you know, there was a deliberate attempt by the devil through socialists and, you know, Marxists who migrated to America in the early 1900s, 1910, 1920, 1930, and they began to introduce socialist ideology and gradually remove God from the schools. You know, so they remove prayer. Can you imagine? Thank God the Supreme Court now has restored that it is not wrong for a coach to pray. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. But you can't believe that is the America of George Washington. You know, and all these great men who penned down, you know, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal and have a right to the pursuit of happiness. It all came from the Bible. It all came, but it's all desolate now. Well, not all, but a lot of it. But all those desolations are going to be built back. Ours is physical infrastructure. Theirs will be moral and spiritual infrastructure. Give the Lord a clap offering. All that restoration is all coming back as a fulfillment of this prophetic word. And they, these people who are mourning in Zion, they will build the old waste places. They will raise the former generations. They will repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. Another clap offering for the Lord. Oh, I'm excited. We're living in the most greatest times of human history. We're going to see physical restoration and scientific restoration here in Africa, and that will also lead. That will also have along with it moral and spiritual restoration. And then we're going to have spiritual and moral restoration back in the U.S., back in England, that it will be like it was, and even better. You know, I'll just say this. I'm in the public space, so I want to say this. You know, you hear this argument in America that there's separation of states and church. Yes, but that's not the whole truth. What America didn't want was what they ran away from England from. In England, the church was the state religion. And the king or the queen of England was the head of the church. And they restricted the kind of worship you could have. It was to escape that restricted worship that the Puritan fathers left England and went to America to find a land where they could worship God in freedom. So when they were going to get independence from England, they said, we want to separate church and state. What they meant by that was that the president of America will not become the head of the church of America. And then there will be a state church of America. No, in America you're free. You're free to believe God. You're free to worship any religion you want and all of that. However, it did not mean that there was not to be prayer in public and that you couldn't have things of faith inside the government. That's a complete fallacy. It's totally wrong that, oh, you know, there's separation of church, so we should, nothing religious should be said in government. Lie! Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, he instituted a day of fasting and prayer. And it was passed through legislation in the Congress. It's in Derek Spring's book, Shaping History by Fasting and Prayer. I don't remember all the quotations and all of that, but it's there. You know, it was passed as legislation. So there's no separation of, there's separation. They didn't make it the church of, he didn't become the head of the church or anything. But there's nothing wrong in praying in Congress. There's nothing wrong in praying in school. There's nothing wrong in praying on the field. The Constitution of America does not say you cannot pray. It's a lie. All that is going to be restored. And we can see the process has already started. Glory be to God. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 5. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm about to take off. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We're living the most exciting times of human history. We're going to see a great restoration. both here in Africa, Nigeria, you know, taking the lead, and all the other, all the way Nigeria goes, that's where the whole of Africa is going to go. Once revival breaks out here, it's going to go everywhere. And it's going to restore things, you know. And I look at the kind of life we lived in the 60s and in the 70s, you know. But we're going to get something even far better now. It's going to be far better. And in England and America and all the Western world, all the values, the spiritual and moral values that have been given to the dogs, you know. Now you don't know whether you're male, female, or Q. God forbid bad thing. God forbid bad thing. All those things are going to be restored. Going to be restored. Those are moral and spiritual desolations. So just like we have physical desolations, which we've had in Nigeria. The other day I was talking about Western Nigeria. You can hardly find an industry here. Whereas here we used to have places where we used to make cars, you know, Odutola tires, you know. You had his threshold. It's all, most of it is gone because of corruption. But God will restore the years that the cankerworm has eaten. And it's going to come through this light of life. Not only going to affect the Christians, it's going to affect the air. So even the people who are not born again or filled with the Holy Spirit and all that, you know, with the leadership of those who are born again, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and who are going into perfection, they will be influenced, and they will rebuild the old waste places. Take it to the bank. I said that twice. Now, verse 17 and 18 and 19 and 20. This is where I want to end tonight. After saying this about, you know, let your light, all this is that verse 16, let your light so shine. Everything we've been talking about, you know, development, scientific, you know, technological, and all of that. That is Jesus. Without Jesus, we would still be in darkness. We would still be, you know, riding horses and donkeys and killing our children in order to sacrifice to the God of whoever, you know, so that we can have rain. Thank God. Let's give the Lord another clap of rain. Every day I thank God that I was born in at such a time as this. But if you are born 100 years ago, or 150 to 200 years ago, and you were here in Ibadan, or in Abeokuta, the oracle can wake up. As if he was sleeping. And tell the Ifa priest that it is you who is to be sacrificed. What kind of a? You're finished. You know who stopped it? The British. Not just born again now, because of the influence of light. When the colonial masters came in, all those barbaric cultures, they put a stop to it. You know, the British district officer, once he hears, we will send the police, you know, they will go and arrest the king and say, you can't start killing people. So let these children go to school. In those days, our forefathers used to have many children because they had many wives. Very great foolishness. You know, and the infant mortality rate was high. So maybe they will have 20 children. Maybe 30. Of those 30, maybe 10 will survive. Maybe about the life will die either of cholera or all these infants. You know, it was common. Then in those, they will send them to the farm to go out and work so that the guy can have a big harvest in his farm and, you know, and all of that. Then the British came and the missionaries, they said, why are you doing this? Don't do this. Let these children come to school. We don't have to pay any money. And come, that's where we started mission school, CMS, all this. You know, let them come to school, the Baptists, you know, the Catholics. Give all those people a super clap offering. You know, in every town, in every village, you will find Anglican Church, CAC, Catholic. Then you will find school. Especially in Yoruba land. But it's true. It was true all over. Not only Yoruba land. In the East, the same thing, you know. And then they would bring education. Then our enlightenment started coming and our society started changing. If not for Jesus, you will still be climbing trees and killing one another. Like my friend said, late Wale Adekoya of blessed memory, you know, my friend in Ivory Coast. You know, I took Pastor Wale Adekoya here, and I think Tunji was a lot. We're in London. So I said, look, instead of going to go and shop, let's get some education. So we went to Westminster Abbey. I like doing that when I'm here. I go to historical places because I learn. So we went to Westminster Abbey. You know, it's one of the oldest churches. This is where whenever they're going to ordain the new king, is always in Westminster Abbey. And many great guys are buried there. We saw the tomb of late David Livingstone. We saw the tomb of Sir Isaac Newton. I remember that day I was telling Wale, I said, this place will be interesting on Rapture Day. Wow! The whole place, all kinds of things will all be, you know, William Wilberforce and all these guys, you know, David Livingstone and Sir Stan, all of them, they buried them. So, you know, and I can never forget. You know, so the door of one of the doors in the church, you know, it was built in 1096 or 1026 or something like that. So I now asked Wale, I said, what were your forefathers doing? People were building church. Oh, our forefathers. But thank God for Jesus. Give the Lord a clap offering. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the missionaries. Thank God for light. That's why we're where we're at today. In this nice auditorium with lights. And we can read the Bible in the English language. Where would you have been? Where would I have been? If Jesus didn't come. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Don't ever forget it. Christianity is more than just bringing morality. It brings light. It brings civilization. It brings advancement. Verse 17. Oh, glory to God. Think not. I didn't hear you. Oh, this one is also pregnant. I don't think I'll finish it today, but I'll start. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. As for all these New Testament fanatical Christians who say the Old Testament is not important, you know, all we have is Jesus has died and we no longer. No, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came to fulfill them. The New Testament, all that is very important. And I'm going to show you in a minute. Verse 18. Thank you. It says, for verily. Jesus didn't say verily often, but when he said it, he says something that's of great truth. I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until some be fulfilled. Now, let me bring clarification. I actually preached and taught on this about 3-4 years ago. I think it was 2018. I think we even have one of our books on it. You know, and you have to understand this, that the Old Testament is made up of two main parts. The law, which is what our Jewish brethren call the Torah, which is the first five books, Genesis to Deuteronomy. And then the prophets, which is the account of God's dealings with the nation of Israel through the ministry of the prophets, the judges, and the kings. That's what is called the prophets. And it starts from Joshua right up to Malachi. That's the entire New Testament. Sorry, Old Testament. Now, Jesus said, I didn't come to remove, to destroy, or to annul the law and the prophets. I just came to fulfill them. Now, I'm going to separate them. Because I yet not I, but the grace of God, which was me, by revelation. There'd be a little bit of difference between the law and the prophets.
A lot of people think it's the same. It's not. The law in the Old Testament, which was from Genesis through Deuteronomy, basically, in summary, just contained the laws of God, where we see the Levitical laws. You know, we had, you know, Exodus, which showed the, you know, transition from Egypt, then through the wilderness. That's when the law was given on from Mount Sinai on what we call today the day of Pentecost. It was, you know, 50 days after the, you know, and God wrote this, what we call the Ten Commandments, you know, on tablets of stone using his hand. Again, science has come in because now we understand laser. We now, it's no longer magic to us. You know, to the ancient man who has no knowledge of physics and all that, it looks like a mysterious thing that God can write, you know, the law on stone with his finger. But to us, because we have the knowledge of, we know with a laser beam, because of the high intensity of the light, it can cut into stone. No problem for God to write on the stone. So anyway, and the essence of it is in the Ten Commandments. Then there were a lot of other laws which were covered by the Ten Commandments, but they were extensions, social laws, the laws of diet, the laws of hygiene, the laws of, you know, of exercise and rest, and the laws of equity and justice. If somebody takes your land, how you get it back, and, you know, if somebody takes money, you know, something he didn't pay it back, you tell him to pay 20% interest. It's all there. Every law we have today on the earth is taken from there, because most of English law came from the Torah, and then all, because England colonized most of the world, including America. The Americans don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. So all their laws are based on, it's all based on the Bible. Anyway, so the essence of the law, Jesus summarized, he said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So to fulfill the law, you fulfill the law of love. That's in summary. There are a lot of other things, you know, there are a lot of other, you know, aspects of the law that dealt with the ceremonial, you know, animal sacrifices and all that. All of that is fulfilled in Christ. We fulfill the law of love by prayer, which are spiritual sacrifices that are the substance of the shadows of the ceremonial observances that are written in the Old Testament. God gave me this revelation in 2005. It's in our weekly Rhema. You know, I called it, I never heard anything like it before. You know, I called it the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood, which is exactly what it is. When you kill an animal, that's a sin offering. Jesus was killed for us. So we say, we confess our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ goes into operation. You know, then we had the peace offering. You know, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In Jesus' name, I have life. You know, then you have the meal offering, which is praise and worship. Then you have the burnt offering, which is praying in tongues with all kinds of prayer, you know, baptizing the Holy Spirit and fire. And that burns out the sin nature from the soul and the body. That's just in summary. So, Jesus did not come to destroy those Old Testament laws. He came to fulfill the substance that they represented in shadow form. Is this clear? It's very important you understand that. That's why you need to study the Old Testament very well, because there are certain shadows. Is when you see the shadow, you will now understand the New Testament equivalent that fits it. I think it was Papa Ralph that said, or somebody else, I can't remember exactly, said the Old Testament is the glove, the New Testament is the hand. The glove is empty. It's when you now put the hand inside a glove that you fill the glove with the hand. And that's why it's now fulfilled. So we fulfill the Old Testament by the spiritual equivalence of the New Testament. Is this clear? It's very critical. Very, very critical. So everything you've seen in the Old Testament has a spiritual equivalent in the New Testament. And it behoves you and I to study under the Holy Spirit to find what the spiritual equivalent is and fulfill it. So he didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. Now, secondly, that's the law. Now, let's come to the prophets. What's the difference between the law and the prophets? Well, the law is just the commandments and all of that, you know, the animal sacrifices and all of that. The prophets are what God did through, primarily through his prophets in every generation during the history of Israel. Now, we are supposed to fulfill also the prophets. What does that mean practically? Everything we see recorded in the prophetic scriptures, we are supposed to fulfill it and do better than what they did. It's a great truth. I got to close. It's a great truth. Jesus didn't only come to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Now, watch this. When you fulfill the law by perfecting the love of God in your life, because the love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13, 10, Romans 8, you know, all, there's so many of the scriptures. I'm going to have to go back to this in my next lesson. In Romans chapter 13, verse 10, you know, and many of the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, Galatians chapter 5, you fulfill the law by keeping the law of love. Now, that will lead you to what I said in my introduction. It will cause you to inherit the Spirit without measure. It is with the Spirit without measure you cannot fulfill the prophets. You cannot fulfill the law, the prophets, if you don't first of all fulfill the law and then inherit the Spirit without measure, before you can now do what Elisha did. You can now do what Elijah did. You can now do what Moses did. You can now do what Joshua did. You can now do what David did. You can now do what, you know, Gideon and all these great Old Testament guys, you know, that we all read about. You know, what we have in Christ is far superior to what they had. Many Christians don't realize that. We are living under a better testament that is established upon better promises. So if Elijah or Elisha raised 14 people in his ministry, you need to raise 50 from the dead. And it can and will be done. How do I know that? I know that because Jesus said, let's go back to that scripture. Is one of the greatest scriptures in the New Testament. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till some be fulfilled. I didn't hear you. Everything. That's why I know Jesus can't come tomorrow. There's so many. We are still going to do the miracles Moses did and greater. It's this Spirit without measure that's going to do it. It cannot be. So that's why you must first of all fulfill the law before you can fulfill the prophets. Fulfilling the law will cause you to inherit the Spirit without measure. Then with the Spirit without measure, you can now fulfill the prophets. It's crucial you understand that. Most Christians don't understand that. You know, oh, the law is not important. We are in the New Testament and all of that. No, the purpose of the New Testament is to make us like Jesus. So we can do the works Jesus did and greater. That can only be done by the Spirit without measure. Then we will now reproduce and go beyond the miracles of the Old Testament. And all your life, and since the Bible was written, you know, in the Old in New Testament now, for since the day of Pentecost till date, have you ever heard of anybody split an ocean? Doesn't happen yet. Moses split the Red Sea. It's going to happen again. I don't know under what circumstances, but I know God. You see, God does not talk carelessly. That's what it means by fulfilling the prophets. Well, I was reading my Bible recently. Stand to your feet. We have to close. I was reading my Bible recently. He said that we should keep his, watch this.
We keep his commandments. We keep his statutes. We keep his judgments. And we keep his testimonies. I said, Lord, what's the difference? You know, as I, you know, keep, you know, the commandment is basic. You know, the Ten Commandments, summarize it, love. Okay? But that's not all we keep. We also keep his statute. What is a statute? Healing is a statute. Prosperity is a statute. It's kept by fulfilling love, but you know, then what are his judgments? It says you judge yourself. So there's judgments. So not only do I keep the law, I also keep his statutes. I also keep his judgments. Then his testimonies. What does that mean? What he did, his testimonies. So what he did through Moses, I will do. What he did through Joshua, I will do. Of all the years that we've heard Christianity, even before, you know, from the Old Testament till today, nobody has told the sun to stop. What's going to happen? Now, because that's why we need knowledge and education and understanding. We now know from science that it was not the sun that stopped. The earth that was rotating around its axis, God just put his hand on it. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. For 24 hours, so that Israel could develop, could defeat Amalek. And when they defeated, he just took his hand off and thing kept rotating the way it originally was. Another clap offering. That's so, you know, that's why we need light and understanding. The main thing we understand now that they couldn't understand back in those days, because they didn't have education. They didn't have knowledge of science and technology. But today, we understand so many things. There's so many things we can do now and we are to do. This generation will not pass until we fulfill all. And Jesus made it solemn. Pastor Wega, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, heaven and earth. Man, you don't get higher than that. He said, heaven and earth, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot, not one tittle. In other words, everything you read in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we are going to duplicate and go beyond. I gotta close. That was what Jesus meant when he said, you guys, this is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. Olubi Johnson paraphrase. You know what he says, these guys? He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. You ain't seen nothing yet. He said, the works I do. What did you see that you're getting excited about? You saw me speak to a fig tree and it withered after 24 hours. Huh? You saw me walk on water. You saw me raise the dead after 4 days. He said, this is child's play. This is Olubi Johnson paraphrase. You know, he said, the works I did, he said, you're going to do, and then it's going to be greater. By revelation, God gave me this understanding. I used this acronym to remember it. P-I-P-E-E, Pipe. We're going to do physical miracles. You see, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out, those are physical miracles. But then there's also intellectual miracles, like what God gave Solomon and Daniel and Joseph. He said God gave them knowledge and understanding. And I was looking at it the other day with Pastor Laolu and David. Well, you know, I looked at different translations. One of the translations says, he gave Solomon a mind as limitless. And we know that. I was speaking to a friend of mine, a classmate, one of my classmates. He's a neurosurgeon and expert in psychiatry in the United States. He has a practice in upstate New York. We were having a conversation just the other day. He's a Christian too, you know. So, you know, and we were talking about, you know, when we're in school and all of that, you know. And he was telling me, he said, Olubi, because he's a brain specialist. He said, you have 100 billion neurons. But you haven't heard the last of it, Pastor G. Then you have synapses. Synapses are the connections between the neurons. The doctors will testify to you, you know. So you have a quadrillion. Nobody knows what quadrillion means. You know, you've got million is 10 to the power 6. Billion is 10 to the power 9. Trillion is 10 to the power 12. 10 to the power 15 is a quadrillion. And you haven't even started. That's what's in your that head of yours. But you know what? That's a brain veterinary doctor over there, Professor Lopati. I tell you something. I was telling my friend Muiwa. I said, look, I've written some articles on this. I'll send it to him. You know, I said I've said it from a spiritual point of view. He said even in psychology, you know, in neuroscience, he said we all know that we're operating at less than 10% of the capability of the human brain. Your brain is capable of looking at a piece of paper, looking through a book like that, and storing everything in its memory exactly the way a computer does when it scans. And then reproduce it exactly. You're not trying to remember. You're just functioning normally. Come next Wednesday. This is Christianity. You know, we've got such a low level of Christianity. This is Christianity. God wants to showcase his children. So all that is going to be fulfilled. What he said about Solomon, is we're going to fulfill it. All the law. Physical miracles, intellectual miracles, political miracles, like we see with Esther and Mordecai, you know, and all the other guys, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, how they changed nations, even Gentile nations. Daniel is coming back. Don't be worried about Putin. Amen. God has an answer for him. Don't be worried. Just pray. God's already answering anyway. You know, all the political problems we're having, all these our corrupt politicians in Nigeria, their day is up. God will shuffle them the way you shuffle cards. And bring to the top of the deck the guys he wants. Oh, glory to God. I don't know about you. You know, political miracles, economic miracles. Talking about Nigerian economy, the Naira is now 600 and something to a Naira. It will change. And somebody asked in his eye, said, even if the windows of heaven were opened, it's going to be fulfilled. It's part of the law and the prophets. Can this thing be so? The God who could change the economic situation of Samaria in 24 hours will change the economy of Nigeria. Give the Lord a clap offering. Oh, what are you talking about? He hasn't changed. This is a better testament established upon better promises. He is the God that brought water out of the rock in the desert. And when the children of Israel complained, our soul looked at this daily manna. He said, you want meat? Because you are in this desert place, you think I cannot provide meat? An east wind brought quail and it fell all around the camp. He hasn't changed. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see miracles. Economic miracles. Environmental miracles. Earthquake. Floods. Peace be still. We're going to everything, nothing, not one jot, not one tittle, till all the law and the prophets will be fulfilled. That's your destiny. Let's talk to God. Oh, hallelujah. Ah! Glory to God. Hey, hallelujah.
I have made you too small in my eyes, oh Lord.
Oh,
please forgive me. And I have believed in a lie.
It's a lie
that you were unable to help me.
But now, oh, sing it.
Oh Lord, I see my wrong.
Heal my heart.
Heal my heart. And show yourself strong.
And in my heart.
And in my heart. And in my soul. Oh Lord, be magnified.
Oh Lord,
be magnified.
I have made you too small in my eyes. Start again. Glory to God.
I have made you too small in my eyes,
oh Lord,
oh Lord,
please forgive me,
please forgive me, and I have believed in a lie.
Yes, it's a lie
that you were unable to have. I see my wrong.
Heal my heart.
Heal my heart. And show yourself strong.
And in my heart.
And in my heart. And in my soul. Oh Lord, be magnified.
Magnified. Hallelujah.
Be magnified, oh Lord.
You are highly exalted.
Oh Lord our God.
You are highly exalted.
And there is nothing.
And there is nothing you can do.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
My eyes.
Be magnified.
Be magnified.
Oh Lord, be magnified.
Be magnified. Glory to God.
It's symbolic of your mind. And raise the other hand to God.
That's where we have a problem. The children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea, 10 of them came back with an evil report. Because you see, they saw the giants, they saw the walls. But they could not see their God. But Joshua and Caleb had a different attitude, a different spirit. And they said, let us go up at once, for they are bread for us. And the scripture tells us, he says that we saw ourselves as grasshoppers in our own sight. And so were we in their own sight. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? Are you seeing 615 naira to a dollar? Are you seeing that diesel and petrol and food scarcity because of the Ukrainian crisis are enveloping the nation? Is that all you are seeing? Or are you able to see a God that is bigger than all of that? The God that provided quail in the wilderness. The God that provided water out of the rock. The God that provided food at the gate of Samaria within 24 hours. Which one are you seeing? Raise that hand. Put that hand on your eyes. Your eyes. It's symbolic, but of great spiritual significance. Heavenly Father, pray after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I confess my sins. It's where the sin of unbelief, where I've not been able to see what you're saying, where the problems and the challenges of this perilous times seem to be larger to me than your glory and your power. Oh my God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Heal my heart. Heal my heart. Let me see you. Be magnified in my understanding. Be magnified in my eyes. Let me see that as I fulfill the law and the prophets, all these things will be bread for us. We will overcome every problem, physical, intellectual, political, economic, and environmental. Father, have mercy on me. Help me, help me, help me to make pursuing, fulfilling the law and the prophets the aim of my life. And then I know that all other things will be solved and all other things will be added unto me. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Nika tolo mashala. La prikiko fredes. Lo prenengar dolo mashala. Father, thank you. La prikitolo mashala predefres. Lord Jesus, la prikitolo motolo maras. Lord Holy Spirit, nakalo maras. La prikitoshke fres. Lambrika, Father, celebrikito fredes. Lo kiko kofrede. Father, la prikitolo mashofre. Lord Jesus, aprakatolo matofrenesk. Lord Holy Spirit, namparodolo matofresh. For your blood, naparodofresh. For your life, shakatofredega. For your power, now, shakatofred. Lambrikatolo matofredes. So, tokakramatolo matofredes. Tolo matofredo fredo freshes. Tokakramatolo matofres. Zofredes. Tolo matolo matolomas. Tolo matofresh. Rio, ratusko fredengaros. Lombredesko fred. In Jesus' name. If you need healing for your body, just stretch forth your hands. If you're at home, stretch your hands towards your device. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and then delivered them from the destruction. The power for healing and deliverance is in the word I have spoken that I have just preached. It is hanging in the air. And if you stretch forth your hands now in faith, I'm going to release it into your physical body. Father, for our brethren that have need of healing and deliverance now, I say, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. I cast out the spirit of oppression and depression and impart unto you the spirit of soundness of mind, the ability of the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.